you enjoy the letter?
Yes, it was lovely. I got that letter. And I went back to you. I wrote a letter back to you. It's just a baby sent away.
So, Jennifer, she's going to be writing back to you. You have a pen pal now at Holy Cross School.
I'm very glad now.
And who's the last student now in Texas?
Luce.
All right, Luce. You're listening to Radio Free Aaron, and we're having children on from Fort Worth, Texas, who are writing to the children in Belfast, and they're reading some of their letters here on WBAI. It's now 2 o'clock here in New York City. Luce, are you there? Hello, Luce?
Hello?
Yeah, Luce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how old are you?
9.
Okay, you have a letter to read? We have some of the students listening over in Belfast.
Okay. Dear President Bush, I would like to ask you to help the children at Belfast in Ireland. People get hurt because the other people are hurting them. People suffer because some of their family members are dying. Some people die because the Protestants are throwing bombs at them. Children that are Protestants and Catholics see violence every day. We want to show them support, love, and hope. Children have to go normal to school, and they should not be scared. They can't go outside and play because they're afraid a bomb could hit them. Adults should not behave that way. They should tell the children not to be afraid. Some adults are teaching their children violence. The people that made the airplanes crash are called terrorists. That's what the people that are throwing bombs are called. Some children and people die because of the bomb. Now there are less people. Protestants should not stop Catholic buses. I wish you would stop them, please. Sincerely, Luce Tafoya.
Luce, do you understand what was going on in Belfast? What do you think was going on?
Well, I think it was the Protestants were being mean to the Catholic.
Is that how you see it, Nicola?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not Nicola, I'm Karina.
Oh, Karina.
Yeah.
Did you hear the student there?
Yeah, it was lovely. That letter.
And do you like getting the letters from the children on this side of the Atlantic?
Yes. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, President's getting letters, and it's really thoughtful of them.
All right, listen, could you put on Anne again?
Okay.
Hello, this is Anne again.
Yeah, Anne, it was great. One of the letters that was read from Texas, one of your students received it.
Isn't that amazing? Nicola was, could see her face lighting up. She said to me, I've got that letter. I've written back to her. So she's written back and she'll be sending it off. Isn't that good?
That's wonderful, and that's very touching.
Yeah.
And we hope that there'll be a relationship between the girls in Texas and the girls in your school.
We will write back. We'll definitely write back to the girls in Texas. It's very kind of them, as we were saying, to think about us and to write to us, take the trouble to write. And there are so many people have done that. It's just very heartening for us, in the middle of so much pain and suffering, that there are so many good people who think about us.
Do you girls know where Texas is?
Oh, yeah. Well, funny, we've been just looking at on the map. We're saying, now, there's Texas. It's bigger than Ireland. And actually, we had a caretaker from Texas. And he looked after our school until quite recently. He became quite sick. He was in the American Army in Vietnam, a janitor, a caretaker. And he is a very, very nice man. And he was very clever at making things out of wood and carving and engraving glass. And he helped all the children in the school, and they're all very fond of him.
It might be very nice if your girls could tell the girls in Texas about him.
Yes, indeed, I think they could. The girls have great stories about him, all the things he used to do in school for us. He used to make things for our Christmas play, and he used to make little things to hang outside each classroom door with a little girl on it, and the name of the class, and all those types of things. So he'll be delighted to hear that we're in touch with Texas as well.
And give him our best from New York.
We will indeed. He hasn't been well, so I'll tell him that you're thinking of him as well.
Is Katie Murphy there, the elementary school teacher from Texas?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Katie was very good. One of those students that was listening to the letter being read received it and is writing back to one of your students.
That is great. My kids have been really excited, and they're really hoping to actually set up a correspondence back and forth.
Yes.
And we're also talking about plans about possibly having a sister schools where we actually have an ongoing relationship and maybe even do some fundraising to get girls visiting back and forth across the Atlantic.
I think it'd be a good break for them to get out of it. Are the students now looking to see where Ireland is on the map?
Yes, we have done quite extensive research about Ireland, and actually after the Christmas holidays, we are going to be publishing a book, a hardbound book about their research about Ireland, and we're going to be sending a copy of that book to Holy Cross School for them to keep in their library.
Very nice.
Well, listen, we'd like to thank both of you. You made a very great radio show for us because, you know, when you're dealing with kids like that, it could be kind of tough, but it really did work out well.
Oh, yes. It was great. So thank you very much.
All right. And we'll stay in touch with you and just keep following up because God knows the protests seemingly were only suspended and not ended. So
we're really hoping that it is over and that because it was a no-win situation for anybody. Certainly, we weren't winning because our poor children were suffering so much and their parents were suffering so much. And the protesters weren't winning because they were being shown up all over the world for what they were doing. So I'm just hoping that, you know, good sense will prevail and we can get back to our normal work in school. And also, we did work very hard at cross-community contact before all of this. So it's something we have to think about in the future again.
Okay, you're listening to Radio Free Erin. We're going to go to a bit of music and continue with some other news stories that are coming out of Ireland and some news stories that are here. But right now, a little bit of music. And when we come back, we'll be speaking with Martin Galvin. He'll be talking about an informer that's roaming around our shores that goes by the name of Dave Rupert. Welcome back to Radio Free Erin. As we said in the top of the show, during the week, a loyalist informer by the name of William Stobie was shot dead by his fellow loyalist in Belfast. And that story was covered extensively by Ed Maloney, who the British government had threatened to put in jail if he didn't turn over his notes. And we're glad to say that Ed never turned over his notes. We're going to have Ed on later talking about that dead informer. But there's a live informer here in the United States, of which the FBI have cultivated. And he goes by the name of Dave Rupert, and he'll be flying over to Ireland very shortly to testify in a non-jury court in Dublin to put away Bobby Sands' sister's husband, Bernadette Sands. He's up on a charge of directing terrorism, which carries a life sentence. So it's very serious what Dave Rupert is doing. With us on the line is Martin Galvin. Martin, can you give us the latest on Dave Rupert and how is he living these days?
Well, John, you're talking about Ed Maloney. Ed, of course, had been the first to break the story along with Jack Holland of the Irish Echo about David Rupert having four bankruptcies, one in which, you know, there was about $2.5 million, and then, another one that was after that last bankruptcy. He had a truck driver, he had a trucking firm out who was unqualified, killed some teenagers in an accident for which they were woefully uninsured. So he's presumably millions of dollars in debt. He owns hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax liens. And we've been investigating him going back to the areas like Florida, like upstate New York, Messina, New York, where he had all of these bankruptcies and these past dealings. And we found out we had somebody there recently, upstate New York. They were told that Dave had been there just about a week or so before. And Dave had been talking about how he was now being paid $6,000 a month by the FBI. He didn't disclose how much he's getting from the British government, but presumably that's more. The federal tax liens, the bankruptcies, the debts, all of that, that don't seem to bother him. He was bragging to this fellow about how he reports to the FBI in New York right near Ground Zero, which I'm presuming is the FBI office at 26 Federal Plaza when he has to come into New York City for meetings here. So despite the fact you can run up millions of dollars in debt, you can run up large numbers of tax liens, you can, you know, if you're willing to lie about Irish Republicans, apparently you can make a good living. That's $6,000 a month from the U.S., and not to say what he's getting from the British and even the Dublin government.
Yeah, Martin also was reported in the Irish Echo, and we'll let our audience know that Dave Rupert joined a group, the Irish Freedom Committee, and he was informing on the FBI on basically legal activities, but he was trying to influence members to commit illegal activities on behalf of the FBI. But in the Irish Echo, it looks like his brother was involved in drug trafficking from Mexico to Texas and over to Florida. And it looks like Dave Rupert might be implicated in that, but that case seems to have dropped. It's amazing. You could do no wrong if you're an FBI informant.
Well, John, in the court documents, Rupert, one of the things, one of his latest bankruptcy with involving the trucking business was Transport Arrangements Incorporated. That operated out of Florida, and, of course, it was a trucking business. That's what Rupert had actually told people that he did. His brother in January of 1996 was arrested with a charge of trafficking of marijuana. He had more than somewhere between 100 pounds and a ton of marijuana that had been imported from Edinburgh, Texas. And in the court documents that we have, his brother immediately confessed that he said that there were two other people were actually involved in transporting this large amount of drugs. And Rupert's trucking company, the one that went bankrupt, had an address right near, very close to where this marijuana was found. It was found on a truck, crates marked watermelons, it turned out to be marijuana. So the suspicion is, and there's a lot of evidence that indicates that he was actually Rupert's brother Dale, who went to jail for it was about a year and a half, but that's a very small or short sentence for somebody charged with this type of offense, that Dave Rupert was involved in that, as well as numerous other things that have come up.
Yeah, Martin, because, I mean, you would get 1.5 years for jaywalking in Florida and maybe carrying a joint, never mind having a ton of reefer and getting a year and a half. So
there's
deals being cut all over the place.
If you sell a dime bag of cocaine, you know, the minimum sentence if you're convicted in New York for a first offense is 1 to 3 years incarceration. This guy did about that type of sentence for a ton of, or between 100 pounds and a ton of marijuana, transporting that into the state, interstate commerce, shipping it in from Texas. There obviously is a deal with that. There's a deal which has protected him, not having these liens foreclosed. He's been able to sell property, go to Ireland, various things of that nature. I mean, he gets his expenses paid. We weren't looking for him when we had someone upstate. We want him to take the stand because I think when Dave Rupert takes the stand and is cross-examined about all of these things, including numerous statements he made to various newspapers in which he said he's been branded a liar, a thief, a hypocrite. That was just from his bankruptcies, not from anything to do with Ireland. But when he takes the stand, it's going to show exactly how bad this case is, how this is just simply a political accusation against Michael McKevitt, the husband of Bernadette Sands McKevitt.
All right, thanks, Martin. We'll be staying on top of this case as he'll be flying over next year to testify in a non-jury court. But our government, there it is, propping up drug dealers and agent provocateurs and things like that. But right now we're going to, Sandy, we have another guest.
We have Ed Maloney from the Sunday Tribune. Ed, thanks for coming on with
us.
Hello. Hi. Today, this week, William Stobie was shot and killed in Belfast. Who was William Stobie? Why was that an important story?
Well, Billy Stobie was, I guess, you know, one of the more unfortunate characters of the Troubles. He's become, I suppose, a victim of a darkness which he probably didn't even comprehend, in the sense that He was the figure right in the middle of the Pat Finucane affair. He was the UDA quartermaster who had supplied the weapons that were used to kill Pat Finucane, and he also was a special branch agent who fell out with his handlers and who came to the press for help. And his story eventually got into the public domain. As a result of that, you know, through one event and another, he ended up with his head blown away on the street in North Belfast last Wednesday, in fact.
And who killed him?
The UDA killed him. I think there's no doubt about that. They claimed through a front group called the Red Hand Defenders that they'd killed him, and one of their principal political spokespeople, John White, admitted it in various radio interviews during the week.
But, Ed, I think that just the week before, almost, they had gone to Billy Shelby and said, you're safe, you can move back here, you can live here.
About a year and a half before, not a week before. And Sandy, they had gone to Billy Stobie. He'd just been granted bail on the Finucane murder case, and was obviously worried.
Ed, of course, broke that story right here on Radio Free Aaron.
Yeah, Ed, why were your notes so important, the interviews you did with Stobie, to the British government, that they were thinking about putting you in jail to get these notes?
The story was very simple. They had been seeking my notes in order to sustain a charge of murder against Billy Stobie, murder for Pat Finucane. He had been charged a few days after John Stevens had been sent over to Northern Ireland for the third time to investigate the Pat Finucane murder. And he had been, as I say, arrested, charged on the basis of an interview that he had given to another journalist, a man called Neil Mulholland. Once Stobie was arrested, I got permission from him to reveal the interview that I had made with him some 9 years before, which laid out the full story of his dealings with the special branch, which included allegations that he had been framed by them on charges of possessing arms, that he had given them information about Pat Finucane's killing, which they had done nothing about, that he had told them about the movement of arms that were used in the Pat Finucane killing, and they had done nothing about that as well. The story out in the Sunday Tribune, as I said, and because part of the information that Stobie gave me concerned the names of the people who had been involved in the Pat Finucane killing, they came to me and tried to get my notes off me, and that led to a very celebrated, certainly lengthy series of court hearings, which fortunately we eventually won, prevented them from getting those notes. But the net effect of all of this was to make Stobie, who as I say, was very much a pawn in the middle of this whole sordid affair, made him a figure, I guess, who was almost predestined to die because of the controversy that surrounded all his activities. And sure enough, last week, that's exactly what happened to him.
And with the death of this unfortunate character, does everything die with him now, Ed? Is that it?
No, I don't think so.
He doesn't become a footnote to history.
The allegations live on because they are there. They're a matter of record. Should there ever be an inquiry into Pat Finucane's death, which some people now doubt, but if there is an inquiry into that killing, the allegations are on the record. They will have to feature in any judicial probe. Answers will be looked for. The family of Pat Finucane is still obviously looking for an investigation, a major judicial and public inquiry into his killing. Those aspects of Stobie's story are there. They're on the record. They can't be avoided. They will have to be addressed.
Ed, thanks very much.
No problem.
And I thought, by the way, just for people to know, the Finucane family made a very moving statement. They said they did not want William Stobie dead. They did not want him jailed. They only wanted a tribunal where the truth could come out. So perhaps there'll be more on this story yet.
Okay.
Thank you. And the Pat Finucane we're talking about was a lawyer in Belfast who was shot dead by the loyalists. That name keeps coming up. We're going to go to a little music. And in the interest of equal time and equal opportunity, we're going to be speaking to some voices who used to be familiar on this station. Live on Memorex, anybody listening last week to Radio Free Aaron knew we were trying to get down to Cuba to speak with none other than Grandpa Al Lewis, who was at the Latin Film Festival. And every year here on Radio Free Aaron, we would do the segue where Grandpa Al would come into our show and tell us about his trips to Cuba and what was going on down there. But, Al, how was your trip to Cuba?
Ah, Karen and I spent a wonderful, wonderful 2 weeks in Cuba, and I have to tell you, we met a wonderful, wonderful Irish lady who works for Radio Havana, Bernie Dwyer. And she was interviewing a couple of gentlemen who wrote an extensive biography. Of course, it's in Spanish. We have it here about John Lennon. And we had a long conversation with her. And then I did an hour show on Radio Havana in English, and I talked about the situation at Pacifica.
Do they have any comprehension of what's going on up here?
Very much so. Very much so.
Well, Al, while you were away, there was huge developments within the Pacifica campaign. All the lawsuits were signed off on, and I have to say, with a sad note, a colleague of ours was suspended yesterday from WBAI, and his name is WBAI. It's Bob Fast, and also with us on the line is Bob Fast. Bob, can you tell us, what was your crime against humanity?
Well, whatever it was, I didn't throw anything at young children. I didn't attack children on their way to school. I didn't do any. I mean, I don't even know what my crime was. It's like one of those terrible stories during the 50s, like Mickey One, where someone is being pursued for not knowing what he did. I do so many things that are wrong, you know. They can pick any one of them.
So it's hard to keep up with you.
I just did my regular program.
As usual.
Right. And right. It's great to hear Grandpa.
Yeah, well, what we want to do now, and this is equal opportunity because the morning shows were free to speak about what was going on with Pacifica, and I know we shouldn't have any problem doing the same thing as the morning shows were doing. We'd like to take a few phone calls. If you want to speak to some voices that you haven't heard.
I was cautioned or told not to discuss this settlement and not to read it from, I'll read the story from the New York Times. I was told, no, there are some inaccuracies in there. And I was told I couldn't read them. And I wasn't told I couldn't read the Wall Street Journal. I thought I might do that. And then I came into the control room, and there was Andrea Sears' report being rebroadcast of the events. And so I thought, since it's on the air, I'll put a little marker in the tape and play back on Andrea Sears so that the listeners to this program will know that there's been a settlement. And someone spirited the news tape out of the control room, so it wasn't there. So, when someone called in and mentioned that there was a settlement, I was pleased. And
Oh, by the way, I would like to tell you that I am 110% opposed to the settlement, and I want to congratulate Mr. Maldonado for holding out despite all of the pressures. And for all those people who signed on, if they think that John Henry carried a hammer, I invite them to come this Tuesday. There's a meeting at the Henry Winston Auditorium on 23rd Street, and they will see that Grandpa carries a heavier hammer and will use names about those people who thought that this is a victory. So much so that the garbage starts all over again with the suspension of Bob Fass. I mean, this is part of the settlement. This is part of the settlement. As I said on Radio Havana, which is listened to all over the world, Al Lewis and Karen Lewis will not be back on the 10th floor at 120 Wall Street with all those skullduggeries, miscreants, pirates, venomous people who are there now. I am not going to be there. They can give my time slot. They want to give it to Rudolf Hess, they can give it to Rudolf Hess. They want to give it to Joseph Goebbels, they can give it to him.
Well,
I'm
listen.
Going to be there.
Well, Alan Bob, we got like 25 minutes. We'd like to open up the phones at 212-209-2900. If you want to speak to Al, who's been banned from the station for almost a year now, or to Bob Fass, who's recently banned.
I just want to commend you, John, for your courage in doing this.
Bravo.
Yeah, well, I think probably the next time we speak, it'll be in person. All right, 212-209-2900 if you want to discuss what went on in Ireland or talk to these two legends of radio, Grandpa Al Lewis and Bob Fez. B.A.R., you're on the air.
Yeah, good day to everyone.
You know what, Myra? I don't believe it. You're the first one up?
Well, I immediately went to the phones for freedom of speech. You know, I mean, it's such a travesty and such a disgrace that this is happening. I can't believe that men and women of goodwill. And then you hear these children, youngsters, you know, I don't like to use the term children, but these youngsters are trying to do what they can to, you know, build bridges to each other and good feelings. The thing is that I went to many Pacifica National Board meetings that were on the East Coast, and I was always appalled. I tried my best to do whatever I could, you know, to improve things. But there was something about the type of person that gets into an organization. You know what I mean? Dr. Mary Frances Berry is one, you know, you can point to. And it's not because of racial that I'm speaking against. I just didn't like her style.
Yeah, Monroe, listen, you got enough time. I'll be seeing you tomorrow. I want to get there's a full switchboard here at 212-209-2900. B.A.R., you're on the air.
Yes, well, well, well. Good afternoon, folks. This is Pete from Queens. Great show again today. It looks like it went well technically. Congrats. I want to make a quick announcement to my fellow listeners out there. 1 week from today, on December 22nd, Saturday, from 5 to 10 p.m., we're going to have Party of the UBJ. That's 101 Avenue of the Americas, just north.
Hello?
Hey, Pete, you're cutting out. You're going to have to call back. Sorry. But there'll be a thing next Saturday from 5:30 to 10, the one-year anniversary of the Christmas coup, at 101 6th Avenue, just off Canal Street. Okay. WBAR, you're on the air.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
We got a full house. Bob was dismissed, huh?
I was suspended, you know.
This is a very peculiar...
Like, just like Grandpa, he was suspended. I asked them how long Grandpa's suspension would be, and they said, well, we'll talk about it. I said, how long is my suspension going to be?
This is a very...
And they said, we'll talk about it.
Strange beginning for a settlement.
Yes, strange beginning for peace.
But this Tuesday, there's a BAI in exile event. The theater for New City? Anyone knows about that?
Yeah, that'll be WBIX in Exile. That'll be 7 o'clock to 11 at the new theater at 10th Street and 2nd Avenue. A lot of activity going on. That's Tuesday. Listen, we're going to take a couple of more phone calls. WBAI, you're on the air. 212-209-2900.
Peace. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I want to say to Mr. Al Lewis, I commend him because I think he's one of the greatest revolutionaries for black men out that I've ever come across.
Amen.
More, doing way more than chumps like Al Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan have ever done to me. And I'd like to commend him. I had the
pleasure
of meeting you once. I was asked to do a career day at a school on Roosevelt Island. And I met you, and you were very courteous.
Thank you.
I didn't learn more about what you were doing, you know, until about a year after, but I commend you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Radio Free Air, and we're taking some phone calls about the historic events that happened this week with the Pacifica Foundation. WBAI, you're on the air.
Well, it looks like I got cut off. I'm glad I'm back, John. It's Pete again. I do want to make an additional announcement on top of the 22nd. A lot of things have been happening lately, and just like this past summer where the listeners just drew the line and couldn't take any more, and we started a round-the-clock vigil for about 6 weeks, we're going to be coming back there this Tuesday night. I want to make the announcement, let people know that we're going to be vigiling Tuesday night to support Bob Fass.
That's great.
We're going to be there all the way to at least Tuesday, Wednesday.
Al Lewis will be there.
Oh, we'd love to have you there, Grandpa.
Don't forget the other fired and the band.
That's right. I'm not
fired and banned. There's another group called The Suspended.
Well, The Suspended, The Fired, The Band, The Hated, the listeners have been fired too, evidently. So fired listeners should make it on out. We had a great time this summer, and it's more important than ever that we get out there. John, I want you to know.
Pete, one more time. What is going on Saturday?
Well, Saturday is going to be a comedy show. It's going to be a chance for us to laugh at ourselves, laugh at the movement, laugh at the horrible state that the station's at, and then just to reflect about this settlement or the so-called settlement. We can discuss what it means for us. It's going to be just a night of everything, dancing, music, fun. But it's going to be the party of the year. It's going to, if you were out there last January, if you were one of the 1,200 people at 32BJ after the coup at that meeting, come back to 32BJ. We're going to just revisit each other. We're going to have a great time. We're going to get some laughs. We're going to come together. The movement needs this.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And, Grandpa, I hope you'll be there. Bob and John and Sandy and Liz, everybody there, I hope you guys will be there.
Putting it on my calendar right now.
But most importantly, I really do want to get the message on the vigil out. It's very,
very important. And as far as the settlement is concerned, I'll use the words of the wonderful Mike Will, who would say, "Well, there was another sweetheart contract that was signed."
Easy, Al. Come on.
I would say that this settlement is about as helpful to peace as a settlement in the West Bank.
Well, listen, Pete, that's 101 6th Avenue, Saturday from 5:30 to 11.
32BJ. It's a big building. You can't miss it. You know, but if I can just make a quick message, I met Bob Daughtry in D.C. about a month ago.
Well, listen, Pete, I don't even want to get into that, all right? Please.
He's a prince.
All right. No. I don't want to even get into any names. Just discuss what's going on with the settlement. B.A.I., you're on the air.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Bob Lederer, one of the Fired and Banned producers, and thanks for having this really important discussion. In the grassroots movement, Concerned Friends of WBAI, we're in major discussion.
Bob, could you just hang on? We're going to cut off Al and call him back because we're getting feedback from Al's phone. Al,
okay.
We'll call you right back.
Right.
All right. Go ahead. Just...
Hello?
Yeah. Okay. That was it. There was something wrong with Al's phone. Go ahead.
Okay. So we're having serious discussions about the implications of this settlement of the lawsuits. It certainly opens the door for some opportunities by giving the dissidents a 9-6 majority on the board, but on the other hand, it is filled with limitations and problems, not the least of which is that one of the old guard board members must go along with any decision, or if not, if there's a majority that doesn't include them, then it gets referred to a California judge to referee what could be some of the most important decisions about the future of the foundation. So we have concerns, but we also are preparing an offensive to take back our network, and we need everyone's involvement and everyone's ideas. So we're announcing an emergency general meeting. Actually, Grandpa Al got the wrong day for it. It's not Tuesday, it's Monday. Tuesday is when WBIX is having a separate and very wonderful event. But we're having a general meeting that everyone is welcome.
Hi, I'm here.
Monday. Okay, so, Grandpa, the general meeting of Concerned Friends that you mentioned is not Tuesday, but it's Monday night at 7 p.m. at the Henry Winston Center, 235 West 23rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenues. And there will be presentations from Leslie Kagan, one of the national board members, and Miguel Maldonado, who Grandpa Al mentioned is the former chair of the local board and one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit who refused to sign the agreement because he did not agree with the idea of allowing a judge to have power over the Pacifica Foundation. So we'll hear all those points of view, and we'll hear the updates and debate what to do next. But the most important thing, I just want to end with this, is that we have to stay mobilized. We have to keep the pressure on this new board, even though people that are in support of our values are now in the majority on the board.
I'm in full agreement, Bob.
Holding their feet to the fire, and we need to keep the financial boycott very strong. And clearly the events of last week with not only the suspension of Bob Fast, but also more new threats now about the gag rule, any violations of the gag rule directed against the Asia-Pacific Forum programmers, and I'm sure now threats against you folks at Radio Free Aaron demonstrate that the time is past that we need to have this national board remove the illegally installed station manager who was not put in following of local procedures, local consultation. He needs to be removed, and we have to move on to the next phase where we can rebuild the network along the lines that it was created to provide a voice for the voiceless.
For the voice of the community.
Okay.
That's what we need.
Thank you, Bob. Well, listen,
you know, John, can I... John, you asked me about were they aware in the event.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. Aunt Lewis did a television interview for Lima, Peru, and I made them aware of it. I did a radio interview for French radio, and I made them aware of what was happening at Pacifica. I did an interview with Ecuadorian television in Havana, the National Hotel, and I made them aware of it. And anybody else who would listen to me, I made them aware of what is happening at BAI and the whole repressive situation that is going down here in, as we say in Spanish, Estados Unidos, United States. So,
okay,
carry the ball.
Yeah, Al, we're going to try to take a couple more phone calls here. We've got a full switchboard at that. And the number here is 212-209-2900, because what happens is when the phones keep ringing, they drop out, and as I say, the bottom drops out of it. Bob, one quick question before we go to the next phone call. Any idea on the length of the suspension?
Absolutely not. I'm supposed to get something in the mail. No, I don't know whether there'll be powder in the envelope. But supposed to get something in the mail that explains it to me.
Oh, okay. All right.
I lent some books to Daughtry. I had a meeting with him right before I went on the air. He called me at home and told me not to come in that night. And I told him that I was having some people coming in from Texas, a band. Maybe he thought it was the fire and the band.
All right. You're listening to WBAI. We have about 10 more minutes to take phone calls. BAI, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, John McDonough.
Harold, I'm going to say this. Is there any way you can make this short?
Yeah, I can absolutely make
it. No. Come on, Harold. Hurry up. Go.
I can make it short.
Yeah.
First of all, I would like to invite the listeners of WBAI to come out to the Theater for the New City this Tuesday.
It's Harold.
At 7 o'clock. Actually, from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we're going to be there. John McDonough, you're invited to come by because I hear you're doing a performance at some venue in town, a skit. That people can come out and see you as well. You're going to be talking about Ireland, Vieques, Palestine, and Israel. We're doing a program, you know, in this year, you know, the time of peace. And also we're going to be talking about the Pacifica settlement. And I did hear Grandpa Al Lewis, and I am one of those who are very skeptical of the settlement and believe that we need to fight until all the band and the fire are returned. And I mean all the banned and the fired, including the general manager, Val Rivanis, the program director, Bernard White, the producer, Sharan Harper, and the other 30...
Sharan, that's right.
And yourself, Errol.
Well, I'm neither banned nor fired.
Oh, no?
I'm just in exile and fighting the resistance.
I don't think they quite had that much nerve, Errol.
All right, Errol, I'll see you on Tuesday night.
Good enough.
Down at the New Theater, 10th Street, and on 2nd Avenue. WBAI, you're on the air. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, John. My name is Nora, and I just want to give out the number of the Concerned Friends of BAI hotline for all the rest of those hours on the station when folks can't get information about what's going on. It's 800-825-0055.
Anytime. Say it again.
800-825-0055.
Oh, thank you, Nora, for the information.
Okay, love to you all.
All right, full switchboard here. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I'd like to send my love to Grandpa and his wife. I hope he's in good health. And Bob, I hope that you come back soon. And what I'd like to say is I have a major instinct as to when everything will be back to normal in WBAI. And that is when Democracy Now is back on the air. That's all I have to say.
All right, listen, thank you. And
good luck to all of you guys.
We're hoping that happens very shortly, too. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm a listener in exile. My name is Holly from Queens, so a big shout-out to everybody. And a belated happy birthday. I hope you're listening, Bernard White. Forgot it was your birthday. And hello to everybody. Grandpa, miss you. Good to hear your voice. Bob Fass. I was listening Thursday night. I heard the band from Texas. I didn't hear anything. My ears were not pierced. I mean, you know, I don't understand. I still have my eardrums, you know. So I'd like to know what the crime was, too. And
well, they said I did something that endangered them.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know what it was.
No, you sent white powder over the radio. It came through my speaker. Oh, I forgot. I mean, honestly, it's just, you know, as people are saying, it's an outrage. And I agree with what the last caller said. I think the big measuring stick is when Democracy Now! Returns to WBAI airways. Perhaps Bob Fass will listen to you on WFMU also, 91.1, right after Amy. Ha, 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 because I know you were there before, right, one time.
That's right. It's a great station.
Yes, it is. And but, you know, ideally, all the banned, all the fired, all the suspended will be returning, and we'll do it, you know, on terms that are agreeable to them. And, yes, I'm saying that for you, Grandpa. I agree with your skepticism about this quote-unquote settlement. I mean, it looks good. But, you know, paper is always pretty, especially around this time of year, right? There are all kinds of pretty bows. And that's about it. It's just really good to speak to you
Thank
and hear you,
you
all. And if you're still listening, Errol, hello to you, too. And good to hear you. Okay. Bye.
People are talking about measuring sticks. I don't know if it's a measuring stick, but I'm looking forward to turning on in the morning and hearing Bernard White again. And going right from that into Amy Goodman, that was a pleasure, and that was radio, and I've been missing it.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Is this the birthday boy?
Yes, it is.
What are you clocking in at these days? Do we have to cut your teeth to look at the rings there? What is it, Bernard?
I don't know. I have a leg that seems to be getting a lot older than I am. It's aging quicker than me. I'm kind of walking with a limp today. So, how's it going there?
Well, you can still kick with the other leg, can't you?
Yes, I can.
Well, there's some things that need kicking.
And can and will. So, Bob, what happened to you?
Oh, I don't know. Something I did must have upset people. I came into the office, and there was the prince of the power of the air, and next to him was Jim Dingman. They were sitting with their heads very close together. Perhaps, Dingman was eager to get on and, you know, do my program. I don't know.
Well,
but it's the listener's program, you know. We tend to think of them as our program, but we shouldn't forget that they belong to the listeners.
Hear, hear.
Well, one would have hoped that by now the exile community would not be growing, but it seems that it's continuing to grow. It's a shame because there is, at least on paper, a settlement to this crisis that has confronted Pacifica. And hopefully those folks who are still in charge, even though it's only going to be momentary, will, you know, stop with the same kind of behavior that has brought us to the ruin that we're at now. The network is in serious financial difficulty, and that difficulty has resulted in a listenership that does not like what this administration has been doing. So hopefully they will come to their senses and stop this shenanigans, because it's being selectively applied. You know, when they say that you shouldn't have done something, I'm sure that if they've been listening in some of the morning programs, they'll find out that what you did was far less damaging than what's being done there.
Well, I did less than what Bashir Mchawi did on his program.
Uh-huh.
You know, he mentioned that there was a settlement, and I mentioned that there was a settlement. I didn't, you know, read the article because it was supposed to have had inaccuracies in it, according to Prince of the Power of the Air.
All right, Bernard, we got a full switchboard, and where can people see you on the TV? I understand you're on the Manhattan.
Yes, I'm on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Channel 34, Wednesdays at noon. The other day, I had the pleasure of being on Democracy Now! On the War and Peace Report, also aired on MNN on Channel 34. That's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
All right, thank you. We're going to move on. As I said, there's a full switchboard here, and we have maybe 10 minutes left before we go to the prisoner shout-out on WBAI. You're on the air.
Hi, maybe Bob Sass endangered them, whoever they are, by doing good radio.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say
radio,
that.
You do wonder. You have a wonderful radio show, and same thing for Grandpa. I miss you both. And
thank you.
Radio Free Aaron did a great show today, and I hope that's not endangering yourselves, but it's good for the listeners, and it's much appreciated. Thank you.
My God, you sound like this is the first good show we've done. For all our listeners in the Bronx, if anybody wants to watch this War and Peace Report with Amy Goodman, it's on Channel 75, which is CUNY, the CUNY network on cable, and it's on at about 1 o'clock in the morning. That's AM with Amy Goodman.
All right, we're going to try and take a few phone calls here in the remaining minutes that we have left, and I do mean the remaining minutes we have left here on WBAI. It's 247. BAI, you're on the air. Hello? BAI, you're on the air. The lines are dropping out. BAI, you're on the air.
Fidel Castro is a murderer and a terrorist, and we...
No, you should have left that on, Eliza. Don't worry. Al?
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear that last phone call?
I'd like to second something that Bob Fass said about, for me, you know, my resume is in for my life, what I did. You either
so
like
far.
It or don't like it.
So far, another 100 years
no,
to you,
and,
Al.
And I want to say that a great honor that I received in Havana at the Escuela de Cinema and Television. They honored me with a diploma and asked me to sign the Wall of Fame in the back, myself, Francis Ford Coppola, Al Lewis, Grandpa, and at the moment I can't remember his name, very famous Brazilian director, for the work that we have done in trying to inform people about what film can do, and also honored me for the work that I do on the radio station when I was on at WBAI. And for myself and my wife, it was a great honor, and the party that they held for me. They had asked me to speak today at the 15th anniversary of this famous school, and I had to leave yesterday, so I couldn't. So they held a special party for me last Thursday. And it was a great honor for me, and that's the only accolade I need. Hey, my resume is in, you know. I add to it occasionally, but it's in.
I'd like to add a minor accolade. I stayed up last night much later than I should have, now that I'm on a daytime schedule, watching Used Cars.
Ah!
That movie where you play the hanging judge.
Funny
and
film.
It was, I think I soiled myself laughing.
Yeah, it's a funny film. We did that in Sandy, Arizona.
All right.
It was so wonderful.
All right, we have exactly 5 minutes to take some more phone calls. B.A.R., you're on the air.
Hey, John. How's everybody? This is Dred Scott.
Hey.
Welcome, Bob Bass and Grandpa to the club.
Welcome to Dissident's Corner.
Right. This is the station for the band Suspended and the Fires. So I just want to just say that this is just a further example. And I know, John, you don't want to mention any names, but it's, to me, it's just a further example of how mismanaged the station is at this point, where they can take on someone of Bob's stature, someone of Grandpa's stature, someone of Bernard's stature off the air, and not to expect any kind of repercussion, and not really understanding the cultural ramifications of what he's doing. You know, so I think that this just spells the end for that management team at WBAI. They're still soon long gone, so just hang in there, Bob. That's all I have to say at this point.
Same to you, Dred. Hang in there.
Thank you.
All
right.
Dred, I think we had reached the point where we thought the rain was over, but it looks like we got to stay on the arc for a little bit longer now, you know?
Yeah, you just got to hang in there because they're hanging by a tooth, and they're just being vindictive as far as I'm concerned.
You thought that was a dove flying in, but it was a vulture.
And that's exactly what they are, vultures. You know?
All right, 4 more minutes. We could try to take 2 or 3 more phone calls before we go off the air here.
Come on.
All right, thanks, Dred. B.A.I., you're on the air. B.A.I.?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, what's up?
Wow, thought you'd never get to me. Yeah, number one, you know, I can't tell you how happy I am that you guys are using the Winston Auditorium. You know, that's where you all belong, and I hope you all spend a lot more time in that building. The other thing is there's going to be a Christmas party there on the 20th, 4 to 8, and you guys are all welcome to attend. Basically, I had some questions on the settlement, but the discussion that, you know, went on while I was hanging on the phone kind of answered all my questions. It seems to me that there's some problems with it, but all in all, it's pretty positive. Is that your take on it, or are you kind of negative on it?
I have to see how the settlement's going to play out, but I know Al's against it, and Miguel Maldonado is not signing off on it, so, I mean, it's far from over.
But it's developing in a positive way, it seems to me.
Sometimes
there are great statements made at the United Nations, but down on the ground, people still die.
I understand. So it's going to take the grassroots movement to finally push it, I guess.
As usual.
As usual.
All right, we're going to take
that. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks for calling
in.
Bye. B.A.I., you're on the air. Hello.
Hello there. Hi, this is Fran Luck. Greetings to Bob. Al, Bob, I was so moved and upset by hearing about your suspension. I want to say that I think that they know exactly what they're doing, that they are going after you because you're one of the longest associated voices with WBAI, and they're like an army that knows it's going to have to retreat, and they want to do the major damage they can do while they still have that little bit of power. I hope that people will come out at the time of your show on Thursday, Friday morning, be at the station in a vigil. I know there's no place I would rather be at that time, and I will be there. And, you know, let's just see it for what it is. They're really scared, and they're really vindictive, and that's why they're doing this.
All right, I think, well, all right, one quick call, and then that's it. No, all right, I think we're going to have to finish off because we have the prison shout-out line by T-Dove. Yes, Sam.
Okay, quick announcement. There's a peace demonstration tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. We used to announce those kinds of things on BAI.
And Al, thanks for coming on. I'll see
you. Hey, thank you. Up the river.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to, you know, congratulate all of you. Up the Revo, that's what I say. That's what I said in Havana.
And Bob?
Yep. Thank you.
We'll maybe see you on the radio sooner than we expect, I hope.
Well, we'll see.
Thank you, Jim.
Anyway, thank you all.
Thank you, John.
Thank you,
Dave.
Great
program. Thank you,
Sandy.
And thank you, Liza.
Until next week, I'd like to thank the morning show for giving us the opportunity to talk about this because they use their time to talk about it, and I feel This was equal time that we used our time to talk about.
Yeah, well, to Grandpa and to Bob and to Seth and to Howard, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah. And if things work out like we think they might, I might as well wish you all a happy 4th of July. All right? God bless. Have a good Christmas.
And thank our engineer, Eliza Butler, one more time.
Greetings. This is T-Dub with the Prisoner Shout Out Line. The Shout Out Line is for friends and families and lovers of those who are incarcerated or who care about the incarcerated. And I have some information for some of the people that wrote me. I think we'll do that after the messages. So stay tuned, and I'll give the number for the Shout Out Line again at the end, but it is 212-209-2958. And that's any time that you're inspired. So, stay tuned.
Yeah, this is for my son, Terrell McDonald, in Green Correctional Facility, Caxackie, New York. Terrell, it was good to see you Sunday, man. I'm glad you're standing strong, taking care of yourself, and developing your mind the way you're supposed to. Just stay strong, man, and take care of yourself. Daddy love you, man. We're thinking about you all the time. We're going to get through this. See you in a couple of weeks, man.
I wanted to play Mac's message because Mac is always there for his son. Mac always remembers to call every week for Terrell, and that is the shout-out line for the 70,000 prisoners that are incarcerated in New York for this week. I'm not trying to shame people into calling, because I would do this as long as I have a space to let people know that they are not forgotten and that someone cares and really believes in the shout-out line. It saved a lot of people, not this particular shout-out line, but things like it. I know that people aren't listening to the station that much, and I'm told that that's what is reflected in the sparse action on the shout-out line. If you could put it in your hearts to think of the people that are behind bars and think that you could be there in a second. Credit card prison is coming up soon. Jetters prisons are just around the corner. And you could be there and like you won't even know it happened. So I hope that more of you will support the shout-out line by calling 212-209-2958. And you don't even have to listen to the station to leave a shout-out. But, well, I don't know, Radio Free Aaron is a damn good show. And the one coming up, Peter Boshin's All Mixed Up, excellent. The information for Andy and Iris is that the Customs Office is declaring that they do not, they have no responsibility for anything lost in the collapse of their building. Involved in the WTC disaster. And if you have a seizure number and you're part of a crime, they don't feel that they owe you anything. However, if your equipment or tools or things that you had seized were not part of the crime but were part of your work that you happen to be carrying, you might be able to declare their value. So you have to be able to prove that value by writing to your employer and getting a receipt or something that shows what that equipment is worth. And I'll be in touch with you both on it. It's 212-209-2958. Thank you. WBAI, New York.
This is WBAI-FM in New York.
I played a piece, a John Page's called WBAI. And so for me, WBAI is fixed in my mind as being a kind of progressive, intelligent.